Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son bitches, get out, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
And when we say this, the press calls us racists in reverse. Don't struggle only within the ground rules that the people you're struggling against has laid down. Why, this is insane. But it shows you how they can do. They make the, with skillful manipulating of the press, they're able to make the victim look like the criminal and the criminal look like the victim. Right now, when in New York, we had a couple cases where police grabbed the brother and beat him unmercifully. But when it comes time for you and me to protect ourselves against lynchers, they tell us to be nonviolent. That's a shame. Because we get tricked into being nonviolent. And when somebody stands up and talks like I just did, they say, well, he's advocating violence. Isn't that what they say? Every time you pick up your newspaper, you hear where one of these things has written into it that I'm advocating violence. And I have never advocated any violence. I've only said that black people who are the victims of organized violence perpetrated upon us by the Klan, the Citizens Council, and many other forms, we should defend ourselves. And when I say that we should defend ourselves against the violence of others, they use their press skillfully to make the world think that I'm calling on violence, period. And I wouldn't call on anybody to be violent without a cause. But I think the black man in this country, above and beyond people all over the world, it will be more justified when he stands up and starts to protect himself, no matter how many necks he has to break and heads he has to crack. I saw in the paper where they, on the television, where they took this black woman down in Selma, Alabama, and knocked her right down on the ground, dragging her down the street. You saw it. You're trying to pretend like you didn't see it because you knew you should have done something about it and didn't. It showed the sheriff and his henchmen throwing this black woman on the ground. On the ground. And Negro men standing around doing nothing about it. Saying, well, let's overcome them with our capacity to love. What kind of phrase is that? Overcome them with our capacity to love. And then it disgraces the rest of us because all over the world, the picture is flashed showing a black woman with some white brutes with their knees on her, holding her down, and black, full-grown black men standing around watching it. Why, you are lucky they let you stay on earth, much less stay in the country. When I saw it, I dispatched a wire to Rockwell. Rockwell was one of the agitators down there. Rockwell, this Lincoln Rockwell. And the wire said, in essence, that this is to warn him that I am no longer held in check from fighting white supremacists by Elijah Muhammad's separatist black Muslim movement. And that if Rockwell's presence in Alabama causes harm to come to Dr. King or any other black person in Alabama who's doing nothing other than trying to enjoy their rights, then Rockwell and his Ku Klux Klan friends would be met with maximum retaliation from those of us who are not handcuffed by this nonviolent philosophy.
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hails and smells of North America. And as always, I count this a privilege, joy, and honor to be able to talk to you from this platform that we call and consider Black Power Radio. The most revolutionary radio broadcast anywhere to be found in the hells and smells of North America. And so we thank you and welcome you to another edition, as tonight we will hear from our new Black Panther Party Ministry of Education. The Ministry of Education and Information and Inspiration. We're going to hear from them, spearheaded by that bold professor, Professor James Muhammad. He's sincere and serious about taking the minds and hearts of our children back from our open enemy and oppressor and the devil. Taking them back. Taking their minds away from Disneyland. Taking their minds away from white stereotypes. Taking their minds away from black inferiority. And so we're asking you now to get around your phones and get around your computers and however you, if you're on podcast, however you're listening to us. We say prepare now. And for those of you who appreciate this broadcast and listen to the broadcast every week, we thank you. And if you want to make a donation, donate to Black Power Radio, P.O. Box 11757. Again, P.O. Box 11757, Louisville, Kentucky, 40211. And at this time, I want to bring on our host for this evening and the brother who is spearheading this movement under the direction of our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. This is our brother, Brother James Muhammad. Peace and black power, brother.
Black power, black power, black power. Assalamu alaikum. What's up? Hotep. Peace. Yo, what's up? Ashe to many. And most of our people, we just say hello, how you doing? All praises due to the Creator. First of all, I'd like to say welcome everybody to the Black Power Ministry of Education for the online Pan-African program. But we got to start with education. Miseducation and white supremacy. What is Pan-African education? What does a Pan-African university look like? Well, I'm going to start us off because tonight's program is about preparing your babies to go back into the killing fields of America. Tonight's program is about preparing your babies to go back into public schools. But to do that, we must understand that we've been miseducated. We've been misguided. It doesn't matter whether you went to FAMU, Bethune-Cookman, Tuskegee, whether you went to Moorhead or Morehouse. It doesn't matter whether you went to University of California, University of Georgia. As a black man, you've been miseducated. As a black woman, you've been miseducated. And I'm starting there to say this because some are asking the question, why develop a Pan-African University of Black Excellence? Why develop a Pan-African University of Black Excellence? Well, every university that we have here in America, whether we call it an HBCU or whether we call it a mainstream university, or whether it's called an Ivy League school. It's all built on a curriculum that's based on white supremacy and white privilege. Those are some hard words to digest. But I wanted to start off and say very clearly, just as is pointed out by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I said it before, I'll say it again, the people never treated you right will not teach you right. We do not have time to expound into hate. We don't have time to expound into rhetoric. We have to save and change the condition of our babies. Our babies are preparing to go back into the plantations of miseducation here in the wilderness of North America, also called killing fields. This is where they kill their spirit. This is where they kill their minds. This is where all is lost, because we haven't built the institutions necessary to make sure that they have what they need. So for over 300 years, like, man, for 300 years, you didn't have books. For 300 years, we were locked out of churches, we were locked out of mosques, we were locked out of temples. For 300 years, we were taught to love our enemies. We were taught to be good Negroes. Don't revolt. Like, man, don't steal. Don't do anything. Just serve your master. Even Abraham Lincoln in 1863, so-called Emancipation Proclamation, Abraham Lincoln said, our freedom, but they'll still be under our control. The word emancipation, emancipated, mean one who is free but is still under control. So here we are today. When you heard this white man, Joseph Biden, said about putting the chains back on, well, the chains have never been taken off. The chains were taken off you physically, but they were not taken off you mentally and spiritually, because whose schools do we go to? Whose jobs do we go to? Whose grocery stores do we go to? Whose clothing do we buy? Whose toilet paper do we use? I'm pointing these things out because the mission and the objective of the Pan-African Online Black Universe of Excellence, Online Pan-African Universe of Excellence, is to build a nation and to make our people free indeed. And so, this wonderful, I thank Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz for allowing me this opportunity. I thank Brother Sean Kwali for hosting and moderating this program for us. I thank Sister Chuma, who's in Virginia. Sister Kua, who's in Los Angeles. Brother Vernon, who's in Los Angeles. My brother Mikhail, who's here in Jacksonville. I think, I don't want to miss him, my sister Shabazz, who's in Dallas. And my brother Dallow, who's in Washington, D.C. And all the others, if I miss your name, who's been helping and assisting us move forward as we prepare for September 8th. But I want to be very clear. This institution that we're building is going to grow. I just came off a webinar from the University of New England, and they were talking about Common Core. So you're getting ready to send your babies back into the killing fields, but you don't even know what type of ammunition they use. Now, so why would I sit up in a lecture like that? I want to know what's coming down the pipe. I want to know what type of ammunition they're using. I want to know how they plan to continue to brainwash and how they continue to colonize and how to continue to wipe out the mind of the black man and the black woman so that we continue begging for jobs and moving into assimilating into a system that has made us no good for another 400 years. In order to be successful, we have to study what other people are doing. So brothers and sisters, with that being said, this Pan-African Online University, we're taking the first steps and moving forward. Tonight's agenda is preparing your child to re-enter public schools. So I don't have to do the roll call because I have to know who's online. Brother Vernon, I knew there was a brother I missed. Brother Vernon out there in Los Angeles, are you on the line, sir?
Yes, sir, good brother. I'm here listening. Beautiful, bro. You sound beautiful. How are you, brother? Assalamu alaikum.
All praises to Allah. Yes, sir. Got to call it again. I know Sister Kua. If Sister Kua is out of line, Sister Kua is out there fighting this beast, this devil, every way she can. Sister Kua, you on the line? Sister Tua is out, has a, she has a couple of book signings, and she's been working diligently day and night, and I know that our sister's fighting to make sure the liberation take care of our people. Sister Shabazz, are you on the line? My sister's not due to come until later. She'll deal with the homeschooling. Got to do the roll call. Sister Chuma, are you on the line? Everybody's a little tied up, but they'll be here. Brother Diallo, are you on the line? Well, all praises to Allah. We're not going to remiss, and we're going to continue to move forward. Brother Vernon, our program tonight, sisters and brothers, it called for us to deal with preparing your child to re-enter the white man's educational system. I don't want to mess this up. I want to make sure I got it exactly right. I want to make sure the words are right there to what we're doing. So if you just stand by for just one second.
Okay.
Here we go, family. All right, here it is. How to survive the killing fields of the white man's public education system, saving our babies from dropout, prison, unemployment. First of all, as I've been out the past few days, I watch families who are living in projects, who don't have a lot of money, who may be dependent on AFDC or welfare. But we have to start with the deprogramming of the mind, and how do we go back into a system that hasn't meant us any good? And this is every parent and every black leader. The first thing you need to do is before these schools open, you need to find out what school your child is going to. And before these schools open, you need to go up there with two or three people and ask if you can walk the school or take a tour. If your child is going to the school, you want to ask for a schedule. I'm jumping right into this tonight because we don't have a lot of time, and we want to give you some tools that you can use and prepare for September 8th. So you want to go to the school before the school opens. Why? Because you want to see who is going to be teaching your babies. You want to see what they look like before they dress up, and you want to know what they look like after they dress up, so when they start the okey-doke in the game, you're going to be prepared to deal with that. I'm speaking as an educator. I'm speaking as an expert. I'm speaking as an administrator. I'm speaking of what I see that goes on. Now, they're going to be teachers. They're going to have their room doors all dressed up. They're going to have red, white, and blue in their doors. Why? Because this is the white man's education system. And I'm going to deal with that. I said I would explain tonight why we call it the white man's education system. But we're going to get to that. But we want to give you the tools that are necessary so that you can deal with taking your child back into these public schools. So the first thing is, once you have identified the school that your child is going to go to, your next step is to make contact with the people at the institution. And I don't even call and make an appointment. You make an unscheduled drop-in visit. This is what they steal your tax dollars for every day, and they use them to build these institutions. Now, I know many of us say, well, I like to send my child to private school. I like to do homeschooling. We're going to get to that. That's what the Pan-African University Online is about. We're going to help you deprogram your child after they've been in school all week filled with all type of poison. So on Saturdays, we're going to detox. On Saturday mornings, we want you to get your babies up out to bed, out to sleep. Your cousins, your nieces, your nephews, we want to get all your babies out of bed, and we want to deprogram them after they've been programmed all week. Next, as you go to these schools, you're going to ask and you're going to find out, what is it that your child needs to prepare to do the first day? Well, they're going to tell you your child is going to need to have immunization. Stop right there. Black man and black woman, we've been so miseducated in what we do things and don't even ask questions. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught me and taught those around me that we don't do vaccines. We don't take immunizations. If you need a waiver, come see us. come see the brothers and sisters at the Nation of Islam. Call Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Call Dr. Aleem. Call, find a Nation of Islam headquarters or find some brothers you know in the New Black Panther Party if you're guessing this line, and we can tell you how to get that waiver. You take your poor babies up there. They give you a form, so they need immunization. They got to have a vaccine. They can't even be admitted to school until they get the vaccine. The devil's a liar. So you take your baby. Now, they're going to take a shot at the vaccine, and they tell you when you take this vaccine that, you know, you may be sick for a couple of days. But your body will build an immunity to what we just put in your body. In other words, we just put the poison and disease in your body, but you'll build an immunity. Hell, you already got an immunity because you're a God by nature. So once you clear it up, you got the school, you go up there and you visit these folks and guide us, and they tell you this, and you don't say a word. You just take whatever they give you. You find out. Ask for a schedule. You find out. And you ask, I would like to take a tour to school. If your child's in elementary school, you want to know what the teachers look like. If your child's in secondary or middle school or high school, you want to know what type of scores do they use to place your child in these academic classes. See, the real solution, black man, is to pull our children out to public school. But we're not equipped to do that right now. Dr. Elijah Muhammad pulled all the children out of public schools in 1931, I believe it was, or 32. Pulled all the children in the Nation of Islam out. And show you, the devil should have been clapping. He should have been happy. They came and arrested all the teachers, including the messenger, for pulling the children out of the public schools. And right thereafter, they passed a law and act that allowed people to start doing homeschooling and private schooling based on the fact that they were qualified. Did you hear me? But until we challenge the system, we can't pull our babies out there in these classrooms. So now you walk to school, you talk with the teachers, you find out where they are, where you're from. Since they're always trying to find out where you're from, how long you been teaching? Oh, this is your first year. Well, what qualifies you to teach my child? What are you going to teach my child? Well, I'm going to be the bearer of the bad news, black man. You know they're going to teach them about Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson. You know they're going to teach them about the 4th of July. They're going to teach them about Labor Day and Thanksgiving and Halloween and Christmas. You're in public schools. I just made the case why we have to do and build our own institution, a Pan-African university. So once you've done that, and you're at the school, you go up, you thank the principal, and you leave. You go back home, you sit down with your child, you talk with your child of where and what their interests are. Guess what? Your next visit should be the next day with the form, with the waiver form for not getting immunization shot, with a schedule they're giving you for your child. School is not open. And you introduce yourself and your child to the principal and to the teachers. Why? You know what research has shown? No matter what the child aptitude level, that means no matter what they score on tests, simple parental involvement, students receive 2 grade points higher than they would normally receive without parental involvement. Let me say that one more time in public school. Just you being visible as a parent, as a mother and a father at that school, your child receives a higher academic grade, in plain English, a higher academic grade. If they would normally give them a D, just because you show up, they're going to give them a B. I can guarantee you, if you show up to school, your child will always get an A or B. If you're monitoring their progress, they will always get an A or B. I've seen it where your child may not even do homework, but guess what they say? And listen to these teachers. But his mom and dad is always up here. He got some people that's concerned. I don't want to deal with that. Do you hear what I just said? So your involvement in your child's education is important. So you take your child up and your child meet all these teachers. they meet the custodian. They meet everybody. And if they've been there, if they're in the sixth grade, that's great. Because they've never been to the school. If they're in the eighth grade, you know what? Forget the fact that you hadn't been there in 2 or 3 years. Find out what they're doing now. It's just your involvement, your parental involvement will determine your child, or your guardianship determine that child's success. And then you tell you again, while you're there, again, you don't wait till school to start. You ask them, can I have the textbooks for my child to start? You want to get your child ahead. Do you have a syllabus for my child? Have you completed your syllabus, Ms. Jones? Ms. Jones, can I have your syllabus? I guarantee you they'll give you the syllabus. Your child walk out of that school a week before school starts with everything they need to know what's going on. And you go home and you sit down as a parent and you say, this is what the devil planned to do. Why? Because the number one thing is we don't plan to fail. We fail to plan, brothers and sisters. I'm taking one from, Prime America. We don't plan to fail. We fail to plan. And so by sitting down and coming up with this plan, you wait for the first day of school. And you go back. Mama go back. If mama can't go and you can't go, grandmama go back. If they can't go, the next day, next door neighbors go. And then you make and keep contact with school every week. I'm giving you a formula for success of our children being in these killing fields. The only way you're going to stop these killings is you have to be out there in the field to protect our baby. That's it. If you're not out there, there's no protection. I went a little bit long and I wanted to on that topic, Brother Sean, but I wanted to open up the mics if anybody had any questions or thoughts on where we are about protecting our babies and getting them back in the school. Some schools are starting next week. Some schools are starting the following week. I'm back in the saddle, and everywhere I go, this white man is shaking. I had somebody come to me the other day. They said, you going to wear those dashikis again? You want those African dashikis? I said, if it's the will of Allah, guess what? It just love. We have to have teachers and people in the school who represent our thought and what we believe. Otherwise, your child coming home and start acting like buffoon or fool. I'm giving it to you straight because this is where we are. Now, if you're homeschooling, that's something else. Mr. Shabazz is going to come on. I'm going to talk a little bit about here in Florida. They still get you handcuffed if you're homeschooling. Homeschool. Because if you're homeschooled in Florida, guess what? You have to register with your local school district, and they give you the books, and they give you the curriculum, and you have to teach what they teach, and then at the end of the year, you take the state test. The only difference is you just have your child at home instead of the madness of the cesspools, the killing fields of America. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about day one, preparing your child to go back into the public schools and surviving the white man's public education, returning to the killing fields 2012-2013 school year. This is where I'm not hitting all the topics, but I'm just telling you how to get started. And if you never got started that way, it's time to make a change. Brothers and sisters, Brother Sean, I'm going to ask at this point, Brother Vernon, I don't know if you have anything to add, or Sister Kua came on the line, Sister Chuma, or others. Again, it is a question and answer session for a few minutes. If anyone had a question to answer or someone has anything they want to ask, again, you want to press, I think it's 1 and put yourself in the queue, and Brother Sean will queue you up. Brother Sean, do you have anybody in the queue? Is there anyone out there who has a question? A thought? So taking our babies back into the public school. Yes, sir.
Brother James.
Yes, sir.
Tommy Lincoln, Brother Marvin. Movement
yes,
Radio.
Yes, Brother Marvin. Yes, sir.
How you doing,
Brother Marvin? Yes, from Fort Worth, Texas.
Yes. Thank you for waking us up, brother. Thank you so much. Thanks for that inspiration. Thanks for that inspiration, brother.
Yes, sir.
Brother James, you laid one on me last night, and that's about that. How do you fix a cracked dome? We have a cracked dome. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that if you bake a cake and you leave out some ingredients like some butter or some milk or some eggs, you can't go back into that finished product of that cake and repair that. You have to throw that cake away and start over on a new cake. So when I look at a cracked dome, when I look at us black people, when I look at our children as a cracked dome, how you fix a cracked dome, brother?
Yes, sir.
Do we go in there and fill it?
But Brother Marvin, you hit something that I must expound before we even get there. How many people know that the Liberty Bell, America's so-called Liberty Bell, has a crack in it?
Right. Yes,
sir. The Liberty Bell has a crack in it because liberty in America ain't worth 2 cents. Freedom just acquired in America is not worth 2 cents. When the man wrote this Constitution, he made the changes. He said toward a more perfect union. Toward a more perfect union, he already knew it was not perfect, but he already knew that white supremacy and white privilege would dominate this nation. Thomas Jefferson said that if God is just, he feared what would happen as a result of black people being free. Think over this.
Yes,
that's
sir.
The crack in the Liberty Bell. So now we're dealing with this education system. I have to, what you're asking me, brother, that crack dome is simple. People like Horace Mann and John Locke and Freud, with all their psychosocial sexual theories and education, these are European, Caucasians. These are people that we ran out of Africa. These are people who have come from us, the worst of us. That's the crack in the dome. But we take our babies to their educational system every day and ask them to make them a man and make them a woman. The people who are running the educational system are sick. I'm simply trying to give you some strategies how to keep your baby healthy until we can get the independent schools going and get the home schools going and we can pull our babies out of these damn schools. And I'm tired of saying it like that. Look what it's got you and me. We went to school. It does not take 12 years. The Muhammad University of Islam in Chicago, there were like 46, I think, or 42 of those universities across America during the time of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The great Marcus Garvey had already set up schools and institutions. In Africa, before this white man's intrusion, this is the crack in the dome that brother's talking about. Before this white man's intrusion, what's the first thing he came and did? He destroyed the educational system. He destroyed the books. He destroyed the libraries. Why? Because he knew who you are, and we don't recognize that we're God. So in order to do this, this is why this Minister of Education, this online Pan-African University of Black Excellence, is dealing with this crisis in public schools. There's got to be a crisis. Why? With 52% of our babies graduating, black men, with a school-to-prison pipeline. You don't even know what that means. The school-to-prison pipeline means simple. Negro, we're going to keep you in here for 10, maybe 11 or 12 years, and then we're going to ship you off to the Duval County Detention Center, our alternative incarceration program, and we're going to make money off you and make you a legal slave. Why? Because the 13th Amendment says that you should lose all your rights and involuntary servitude once you have broken the law or committed a felony. That means you are now a legal slave. And even though you didn't time for the crime, you get out and they still make you fight for rights that you should have that they won't give you because they recognize who you are. Now, brother, that's the crack in the dome, brother Marvin. The crack is that we refuse to recognize the truth. I'm not saying that there's no value. Let me make this very plain for those online, because I know there's some educators out there from the Duval County school system. I know there's some educators out there from Clay County. I know there's some educators. Why? Because I invited you. Why did I invite you? Because you're responsible for educating our babies. Don't sit back and hate your mouth open and say, I never heard a talk like this. Well, hell, we're not going to talk like this in their job. But just the way we dress and the way we act, we know what's going on. When you come down in this room and you see nothing but African stuff on the wall and kente cloth, and then you come, some of you come by with other black teachers, and you say, damn, I feel like I'm back in Africa. And you make comments saying, I just love Kuta Kente's room. You see the ignorance? But when you go to this white teacher's room, and they got Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry, Liberty or Death, they got all these white boys, Ethan Allen on the wall, you know what you're saying? This is great. It reflects American history. What a shame. That's the crack in the dome, Brother Marvin, that we respect other people more than we respect ourselves. We respect more about 1776, but we don't want to deal anything going back to Mansa Musa or deal with Nile Valley civilization. We don't even want to deal with the work of Dr. Leonard Jeffries. I asked these Negroes who Dr. Leonard Jeffries was today, and they couldn't tell me. That's the crack in the dome. We've been miseducated. We've been assimilating. We've been colonized. And so when we teach our babies are being colonized. Why? Because you take them to these schools and you trust that they're going to treat you fairly. I've said it since I've been in this line, out of respect and honesty, people who never treated you right will not teach you right.
Teach you right. That's right.
Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, I love this brother. I just got to say it. Because I know his philosophy on law and being with Dr. Collin is based on black law. And if you don't know what black law is, you need to go find out. It's uncut, unadulterated truth. He understands that he can win cases with words. He can win cases with words. Well, what are they doing in the public schools right now? I just got off a forum, a seminar. I want to know what they're planning. Well, guess what? We have to master English, Spanish, French, and Arabic. And I'm telling you, we have to become international people. We cannot limit ourselves to our small surrounding communities. We don't own the block, we don't own the house, we don't own the housing project, and we got to deal with economics. And so my commitment and my sacrifice of Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz and the New Black Panther Party and this Pan-African University and the Nation of Islam is that I sacrificed my life and my death for my people. What I look like going to Afghanistan and dying? Hell, my fight is right here for freedom, justice, and equality.
That's right.
So that's the crack
that
in the dome, brother.
That you've
that's
never received.
That's the crack in the dome. We have been miseducated. You should be able, our children to be able to tell us all the way back to Ra and Isis and Osiris. I mentioned to teachers, and listen to this. We have teachers. I went to a seminar today. It was 4 hours. And I asked, I said, what can you tell me? You teach world history. Tell me about Ra. Tell me about Isis and Osiris. You know what they said? They said, I've never even seen the names in the books.
Wow.
The people never teach you right, won't teach you right. I said, well, tell me about the glorious failure. What's the man's name? Hannibal. I have children that come to me. How do your child get from kindergarten to eighth grade and don't know that Hannibal is a black man? That Cleopatra is a black woman? Come on, think over it. How do they get up and they think the pyramids? And then on top of all that, they think Jesus is white. And then they come the same silly statements. So we got to educate the parents. Brother Marvin, the parents' dome
right.
is cracked.
Right.
The children's dome is cracked.
Yes, sir.
And hell, and I guess that's why in the community everybody's just smoking crack. Everybody's got to find some relief.
You teach it, man.
Yes, sir.
You teach it.
I mean, you know, I need a little bit of seriousness here. We're trying to find some relief. We're trying to find a sedative. We got our babies out here in the corner raising money for football programs and cheerleading programs and all this other foolishness, 3-4 hours, but we won't make them sit down and read a book. When I saw the picture of Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz's daughter, and she was sitting down reading the book, I'm going to say just what I said. I said, Allahu Akbar. I said, damn, somebody got some sense. Somebody got some sense.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we've been here. We know we have to pool our resources. Those of you who are invited online, don't be scared. I'm just your brother. I'm just a teacher. Yeah, I may go there tomorrow and they might say, that was racist. Well, my answer is no. I don't have no power or authority to crush anybody. So it can't be racist. See, so you don't even know the language you speak, black man.
Come on, man. Teach.
See, education starts with us. It don't start with them. So anyway, that first day back to school, I don't want to get too far, Brother Marvin. That crack in the dome, we're healing that crack. One, don't let our babies get these vaccines. Two, parents, make sure you're at that school. Three, make sure you're there two times a week. You say, well, I got to work late. Well, let me say this to you. Your baby is a diamond. Your baby is a piece of gold. You're going to lay your diamond out in the middle of the road and take a trip to Georgia? You're going to lay your baby? Your baby is a diamond. You're going to drop your baby off in front of a door where you know there's nothing but wolves and snakes and dogs out there, and you leave your baby there? You going about your business? Is that what we think of our children? I don't have a problem with these young black brothers pulling their pants up. It don't matter where I'm at. I can look at a brother and brother say, come on, give me the pound. Don't say a word. You know why? Because we have that communication at a level that doesn't include this white man. You know, there was a time when we didn't have to speak a word. It was telepathy. It was telepathic. We still have it today. Like right now, I can almost hear what Dr. Malik is saying. He's telling you, come on, brother, move on to something else. Don't get stuck there. I'm telling you, when you're on that level, spiritually, and that's the other part, brother and sister, make sure, I don't care what your religion is. Your religion is your personal business. I'm going to say what Malcolm said. I don't care whether you're Muslim, a Jew, or Christian. Your religion is your personal business. And if your religion hasn't made you free, then you need to leave it alone anyway. Think about it. If your religion has not made you a free-thinking person, it has not closed up the gap or the crack in the dome, as my brother just talked about, then you need to leave it alone anyway. Because we don't understand what we're doing. But your baby needs that foundation. And they need you. Brother Marvin, I know I went a long way about, but I had to just expound. Any other questions?
Good,
any
brother.
Other comments?
No, sir, brother. Not for me.
We're preparing our babies to go back into the killing fields. Let me say this to you, parents. When white folks are talking about bullying, that's the big thing now. The two, three things they're talking about, really. They're talking about Common Core, what to do with overage children. And I'm going to tell you now, overage children, they really what they're saying, what we're going to do with these niggas. Because the overage children in public schools is us. We represent 85 to 90% of the overage children in public schools that have not been on grade level. Well, how do we not get on grade level? Because they have miseducated us. Why did they miseducate us? Because the people who empower will never empower the slaves or the children of slaves to be efficient enough to remove them from power. So they never treated us right, and they will not teach us right. And then they turn around and say, well, it's too bad he can't read. Well, it's too bad he can't do math. It's too bad he can't write. I like the hind, but he can't even talk right. Well, you made him that way from kindergarten to the grave. Good God Almighty, black man. I hope we're getting this message.
Yes, sir.
I hope we're getting it. So you got to make sure your baby's equipped. Make sure your baby has some pens, some papers. And I'm going to tell you something no one's ever told you. Have your baby write 10 questions for each class. You write those questions for them, and they ask this teacher. First day of school. What are the rules? What are the procedures? This is public school we're talking about. How to survive the white man's educational system the first 10 days, saving our baby. All right. That being said, brothers and sisters, any other questions, any other comments?
Brother James.
Yes, sir.
This is Brother Vernon X, brother. Brother Vernon Ali, I'm sorry, here in Los Angeles. I would like to touch on, hold on 1 second.
I would like to discuss, you were talking about the immunization, because in the nation, about a year ago, the minister spoke one Sunday concerning it, and like you said, brother, a brother posed a question. He said, well, what's in it? Even the doctors don't know, you know what I mean? Like you said, every nasty disease on the planet is in it, you know? And you wonder why your daughters and your daughters are coming up with uterus cancer at 12, and your sons are coming up with prostate cancer and every other ADD and every WEDD at 11, 12, 13 years old. And you were discussing what to steps you can go about when your children don't have to take it. But laws. I was thinking about laws when you were speaking concerning the school system, concerning the system, period. This man has set up laws, you know? Like you said, when the messenger took the children out of school, they came and arrested him, you know? And well, some kind of way, I'm posing two questions, but some kind of way, I'm getting to a solution now. Some kind of way, our children, our black children, are going to have two educations. They're going to have to go to school. They're going to do the thing, go homeschool, whatever. But as parents, we're going to have to teach. Like you just spoke right now about communication. That's all melanin. When you were talking about, we used to communicate without speaking. That's true. From East Africa to West Africa, we would tell each other what weather was coming. All that. It's so true. But that's melanin. The secret of melanin. But there's a vast history, and so much we have to teach. But our children are going to have two educations. You know, because they, like you said, if people won't treat you right, how in the hell are they going to teach you right?
Brother Vernon, Professor, listen, we have a call coming in from 850-284, and I'm going to come back to that because I just wrote down some numbers and we have to deal with this.
850-284. Thank you,
are you out there?
That call fell off, Black man.
Yes, sir. Thank you, dear brother. Well, we can say it like this, Brother Vernon. See, first of all, this is a new modern slavery, but we missed the boat. That's the crack in the dome that Brother Marvin was talking about. Now, I say this to every parent on this line, and you need to understand this. There has been a dollar value attached to your child's education. Hear me very clearly. I've been an administrator. I've been a director. I've been a director in an alternative incarceration program. That means I get your babies, or they sent me your babies. And I helped a lot of them. Some, I have to tell you, I couldn't help. I mean, we had people in my program that went out and committed crimes by the end of the program. But mothers say they have to learn the hard way. But many of them came back and they were all right. Yet there's a dollar value attached to your baby, Dr. Malik Zulu-Shabazz. You're in Washington, D.C. There's a dollar value, Brother Sean, if you have children attached to your baby. In Jacksonville, it's $5,100, I think that's what it is, $5,100 per child. That means they don't care about your baby. They have something called a 5- and 10-day count. That 5- and 10-day count dictate how they get their state and federal money. This is why when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad took the children out of school, that game has not changed. If I got 100 teachers at a school, and I got 1,400 students at $5,000 a pop, think about
mm-hmm.
this. I'll break it down to even more. The average class size, they came up with a law that the class size has to be 25, no more than 25 students in the class.
That's
the
right.
Calculations tell me that's $125,000 per class. $125,000 per class time what, 100 teachers? That's $1,125,000, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
I was at a school with 1,400 students last year. I had a staff out there of 116 people. 114, I think it was 112 were teachers. Shake over there. So there's a dollar value attached to your child. Now, Dr. Malik, they may not have said this, just the parents need to know. Brother and sister, it's $5,000 here in Florida. But I'm going to show you how this enemy works. In Massachusetts, it's $8,300 per child. What's the difference? In New York City, it's $8,400. In Washington, D.C., it's $8,000. But when you come to Florida and the South, in Mississippi, I'm sorry, no insult to Mississippi, brothers and sisters, but they only batting you about $4,100 per child. That's what they give you a child per child that's allocated for the school system. So those first few days, they say they want your baby. That's why I say have your baby survive those first 10 days. See, they don't really care. Matter of fact, the first 5 days, all they teach is rules and procedures, things that your child should know anyway. Please, yes, ma'am, no, sir. May I please go here? I have my school supply. They're just giving them activities so they can get the numbers in, and then they submit those numbers after 10 days, and that's their budget. You didn't know that. Why? Because we've been miseducated. Why? Because the people who never treated us right won't teach us right. This is why Brother James is a danger. This is why they took me right now. I got to tell you. They took me right out of the classroom. You know what they told me? They said, you're not going to be an administrator because you don't want it. So we're going to put you over here. You know what I've been doing for 3 days? I've been going to teacher workshops and stacking books. You know what all the other teachers are coming and saying? Well, why don't you just go ahead and do that? Why? So then guess what? I fall out the movement. I go ahead and I become just like Clarence Thomas and the rest of them. I just go along to get along because now all of a sudden revolution and pan-Africanism is dead. I can't do it. But they're gonna shift because all the weak, sorry, no good, black and white teachers who cannot control their students after the first 10 days, they're going to be leaving. And as always, they'll be begging, we want you to go here. Will you please go teach this? They don't offer no apology. I say this is why the Pan-African University online has become something much more real, and it has to be a future that many of us, we got to get the hell out of the hell hole and heal this crack in the dome. So $5,000, brother, I have $125,000 in my classroom 6 times during the course of the day. Did you hear me? 6 times during the course of the day, I have almost $700,000 that have passed through my door. Think over. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money that this man used. That's the new modern. So the slaves are our babies up north, they're worth $8,300. Our babies in the south in Mississippi, $4,200. That's a damn shame. In Jacksonville, Florida, it's $5,100. Look at the price tag they put on your baby's education. So I'm working with some others to try to pass a law. Sister Shabazz would love this. Those who are homeschooling, since you're making them register, why not give them the $5,100 and let them educate their babies? Let them take them to field trips. Let them be responsible for education. See, what happens is, even if your baby don't go to that school, guess what? Your baby comes in and registers, and you go homeschool. They give you the material, but they keep the money. So really, they want you to go homeschool. Did you hear me? They want you to go homeschool, but we're not going to give you the money. And then when your child come back and they can't pass the test or they're not prepared, but guess what? They're not providing you any training, I must tell you. They're not going to provide you any methodology and instructional tools on how to teach reading, how to teach math, how to teach science, and how to pass the test. And I've seen parents keep their children out 3 years, and they come back, and we ask them, what happened? They said, I just couldn't do it anymore. Well, what level is it? Guess who they sent them to? They said, you got to go. So you're going to be with Dr. James. Go, Dr. James. Go. No, now they want to call me Mr. Muhammad, that low-down, dirty, nasty beast. Now want to call me Mr. Muhammad. Well, he's going to stay with you for 3 periods during the day, and you go ahead and put together an academic improvement plan. Thank you. You see how this works, brother and sister. We that's the crack in the dome. We've been miseducated and misguided. So those first 10 days are important that your baby understand the rules of engagement. They don't want to fight. What is it they got to fight? They fight anybody. They should be fighting this white man. in the classroom, intellectual challenges. He should be writing down questions that he cannot answer, and he has a struggle. I say write down questions he cannot answer, because that's what he's doing. He's showing them how smart he is, and he's not smart at all. All right, brothers and sisters, this line is still open. Surviving those first 10 days.
Hello?
And I must say, summer's already taking the children back. Yes, sir.
Man, I just want to commend y'all for the work y'all doing. Man, this is my BL Shakur. I just want to commend y'all for the work y'all doing and everything y'all, you know what I'm saying, taking up for the black people and saying everything y'all do, y'all speaking the truth, and I just want to commend y'all for that.
Yes, sir, brother. What's your name? I heard you last week.
Oh, yeah, Mafia Shakur. That's my name.
Yes, sir. Well, listen, brother, I know you talked about school, and I looked into the situation a little bit more. You know, you're an example of what we talked about. They can't control your behavior. Oh, I forgot to tell the parents this.
No, they
and I know you can back it up.
The people like us, when they can't control you, you know what I'm saying, they pretty much, you know what I'm saying, just on you. Like pretty much, you know what I'm saying, they label you a have-not anyway. They want you to be a drug dealer anyway, so you can also go to jail and be prison like a prison slave also. You know what I'm saying? So that's why.
They place you in special education.
Yeah, they'll put you
not
in special
education. Not because you can't read or write, but because they say, well, there's something unbalanced.
Yeah, but they can't control you. That was right.
I don't want them to control you, brother. That's the thing. I don't want them to control you. I want them to be able to respect you. See, if they respect you, I don't have to control you. If they respect your thoughts and your opinion,
yeah,
I don't have to control you. You understand what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I understand. That's why I say I commend y'all for everything y'all do. Because then when you get dudes like me, end up being game bangers and stuff like that, and then, like me personally, when I was out there in this world, you know what I'm saying, thugging and game banging, even when I was doing what I'm supposed to do, I still told my brothers they gotta do this, go to school, get an education, you know what I'm saying, and everything else. I want to tell them, I want to never lead them wrong and leave them astray and everything. But one thing about that school, black person, they won't ever tell a black person, you know what I'm saying, about the black leaders or everything in your history, because they don't want you to know. They gonna limit that, you know what I'm saying, because they feel like if you get what they want to in society, they will make you a finger puss, you know what I'm saying, basically.
Can I ask you a question, dear brother? If it was your first day of school now, not what it was back then, but if it was your first day of school right now, and you had 2 weeks before, because you know the first 2 weeks they don't do any real work, right? The first two weeks they just have you dealing with discipline and they talking about respect because they're scared. But let me ask you this. What do you think your first 2 or 3 days of school would be like right now if you went back?
If I went back, my first, you know, I probably would have did things probably the same way, basically.
Well, it's okay. It's okay.
Cause I wasn't the type of child, you know, if it's not nothing for me like to learn, like arithmetic and math, I mean, that was good, but I wasn't the type of child that was the type of child to listen. I was always a leader anyway. I always wanted to do like more and more. I feel like to me, I knew school wasn't a waste of time because you always gotta get your education. But also I was listening to Tupac a lot, so he used to tell me about a lot of stuff about the white people was doing. That's how I learned about the Panther Party too. By listening to Tupac, and then when that happened, I said, oh, he was a pastor, so I got into more research about it and everything else. So it was like big and important to me. So I was like more leader. I'm not gonna listen to whatever the white man got to say and everything else, nothing like that. If it ain't nothing that concerning me and my people, it was like, fuck you, like really, I don't give a fuck about this shit. That was the type of person I was.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to brother is this. Yeah. You didn't see, just like so many, there's no value in education because there's no goals. What are you there for? If I'm going to sit in this classroom today, where is it going to take me 3-4 weeks from now? So when I ask young children, I'm teaching high school, and I'm talking to 9th and 10th graders, you know what they tell me? They say, I'm just trying to be alive tomorrow, man.
Yeah,
I ain't trying to think about no graduation. I'm just trying to be alive. You know why? Because the school is dead, the curriculum is dead, the teachers are dead, and you alive, and they're trying to make you dead. And so when you out of control, you already alive, they're trying to make you dead. Sit down, sit up, be quiet, read silently.
Oh, that's why they,
you see
that's
what
why
I mean?
They tell you. Yo, that's why they tell you the only way you can, like, on it to right now, like back then, the same thing now. The average black man goal is to play ball or do music. That's what it is. They play ball and music in high school. That's basically what it is. It's still like pretty much the same thing. Either that or people gonna feel like they want to do more again in the streets. But right now, it is all about survival right now. I mean, everybody's trying to survive because kids getting knocked off left and right. I mean, people killing each other every day. So right now, it's all about survival because, like, so after the little kids go to school and everything else, they still got to live with the harsh reality once they go home. You know what I'm saying?
Well, let me ask you this. You hear of something called cooperative communities? These are the things we're going to be teaching on. You know what cooperative communities are? Cooperative communities are this. I'm gonna say it like this. You probably have some money coming in, and another brother, and two of you probably know five brothers, and you know right now that if each of you all put your money together, you'll be better off than each of you doing it separate. But he got his place, he stay. She got her place, he stay. They got this, you know what I'm saying? But everybody's single. But see, when you have respect for each other and you have a goal in mind, guess what? You set a goal to save yourself $5,000, and this is what I'm going to do. So we're going to talk about how to start setting visions and goals. I know brothers right now who don't have millions of dollars passed through their hands as drug dealers, but guess what? They gave it away. What? They spent it. You know why? Because nobody showed them how to manage money. And the white man is not going to do this. I'm not talking about his white skin. I'm talking about his attitude of white supremacy and white privilege. And I want to be very clear with that. Brother James is not a hater of white people because of their skin. But I'm a hater of the racist, white supremacist, white privileged attitudes that try to press me or press anybody who is different because we know something you don't know.
If you think about it, a lot of them white people, they be lost too. Like them white folks, they be trying to act black and shit. You know what I'm saying? They be lost too.
They lost
like a motherfucker. But then again, our black people be lost too. Like you have a white friend, just because he white, you know what I'm saying? He your friend, he feel like he can use the word nigga. Like, bro, you ain't saying nothing about him using the word nigga? No, you still gonna
let No, bro, they can't do that. But let me ask you this, brother. How many white people bring their children? If I live in Washington Heights or I live in Cleveland Arms or here in Jacksonville, those are housing projects. How many white people coming across from the side of town and say, Brother Muhammad, go ahead and educate my white baby. Go ahead and educate my child. They're not doing because they have enough sense to know. That's right. Look it up. You're always asking somebody to make my baby more intelligent. They're not going to make your baby more intelligent. They're going to make them hate themselves. They make them hate you. So that's the crack in the dome. That's why I said, I'm listening to you, and I'm listening to a genius talking on the other end. I'm listening to you, brother. I'm looking at how you're splitting and spitting verbs, and I'm saying, man, this man is conveying messages and ideas.
Yeah, that's just me like learning. Like, basically, I learn everything, like, from the leaders of the day, the leaders of tomorrow. I'm from the street. I learn everything from the street because once you like been there, and then you see how everything, the true picture is, you can't open people's eyes. You know what I'm saying? Like you say, the cracking stone. You know what I'm saying? We also sometimes I use the word freedom. You know what I'm saying? Freedom. And you break that up, it's freedom. Free your dome. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
sometimes, sir. Sometimes I want my mind free. I want to make my mind clear. You know what I'm saying? I want to be a good revolutionary for my people. I want to be a good leader for my people. You know what I'm saying? I want to do that. Just like by me being an ex, you know what I'm saying? Me being a GD. You know what I'm saying? Either like a GD. Like, either way, black on black, white on black, everything going, you know what I'm saying? Everything pretty much fucked up unless somebody bring everything together. And we need more structure. We need teachers to teach black students. You know what I'm saying? People in the streets. We need people in the streets. You know what I'm saying? To get these other people in the streets out. You know what I'm saying? The order to stop everything, you gotta actually bend there, do that. Like, I can't go to church, but my pastor never lived what I've been and seen what I've seen. You can't tell me what God did if you ain't living what the hell I went through and see what the fuck I seen. You know what I'm saying?
Brother, I think brother was trying to say something to you, and I'll say this to you because he's going to say something. I said, Brother Vernon, I think he had this note this morning. We know education. This is what Dr. Malik Zulu-Shabazz has put this forum together. Education is just that. It's like a used car with no motor. So you as a student, you're in the classroom, you put your key in the ignition and nothing happens. So you say, okay, well, something must be wrong. You done been in school for 12 years now. You put your key in the ignition and nothing happens. Mm-hmm. So you walk around to the hood of the car where the motor's supposed to be. You open it up and the motor's gone. You realize you've been robbed. 12 years you've been robbed of your knowledge of self, your name, your culture, your belief, your ideas. And that's what the Pan-African University is about. It's about restoring those values, those principles, those ideas that make us a complete person. Brother Vernon, please, go right ahead, sir.
No, brother, I'm just truly enjoying brother's energy, and you know, I love yours, of course. And, but, brother, I just wanted to comment to that brother that he's right on time to keep his spirit and to keep his head up and keep pushing, brother, because this thing is going to change. You know, our young people have a lot of questions. They have it's a lot going on today. I've got
to... Yes, sir, Brother Vernon. Brother Vernon, I hate to stop because I want you to take the first one. There's a caller in queue. I don't see your number, but I know you're out there. There's a caller waiting.
I was going to comment on...
Yes, peace and love, family. This is Sister Shabazz online.
Yes, ma'am. All praise the Lord. We have Sister Shabazz joining us. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else join us? We had a couple of callers in queue. Please, callers, get right ahead. We're dealing with the first 10 days of public school, and we're dealing with why we call it the white man's educational system. So even if you, and I know this don't set well with men, but even if you're homeschooling and you're private schooling, independent schooling, and you send your children right back to the state and straight into a system, then all you've done is continue white supremacy and white privilege.
That's all.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead there, brother. Someone's asking a question.
Yeah, I think he hung up, brother.
Yes, sir. Brother Sean, I know two or three that went queue.
Hello?
The line is open. Yes, hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Go right ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm from Lakeland, brother.
Lakers, go ahead.
This is Brother Malik out in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I appreciate you guys putting this forum together, and it's very enlightening. And I just wanted to comment on what the brother was talking about, the education earlier. We do need two educations, and I try to teach my boys exactly that.
That's right.
Given the fact that we're out here and this lily white Utah, and I try to be a light out here, representing the nation out here in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I encounter a whole lot of issues because I tell them that they can't claim me with their educational system, and I try to teach my young African-American sons to understand and get knowledge of self so that you can navigate these shark-infested waters. And so I just want to commend you, brothers. I also, too, am trying to educate our people on the historical injustices that was facilitated against our people during the saga of slavery with my clothing line, 40 Acres Apparel for Your Mind. And I've encountered so many issues with this educational line, and some have been by our people because they're asleep. And you know the rest as far as the resistance is going to come by. Caucasians. But
yes,
I wanted you guys to comment on that a little bit, because it seems like whenever we try to advance ourselves, sometimes our own people are getting in the way of our advancement as well, when it is exactly for them. So I wanted to get you guys' comment on that.
Well, brother, can I have that? Brother James.
Oh, yes, sir. Please go right ahead. We have two other presenters online. We have Professor Shabazz who's joined us, and we have also, I thought I heard another person join us. If someone would like to comment on that, fine. If not, I'm just going to hold off for a minute because I have a thought, but it may not be the right thought.
Well, I just wanted to comment that that brother, I mean, please understand, we are still under white supremacy. And, brother, that's within their nature. They are our natural enemy, brother. We are in the land of our enemies. I mean, that was prophesied many years ago. So when you see them come against you because you're bringing the truth, everything concerning these people are lies, especially concerning us as black people. So, of course, when you come with some light, turn on a light in someone's mind so they can do for self and help self and educate self, of course they're going to fight you because they're your natural enemy. So expect it when you come to bring the truth to your people. Every man in history of this country that has come to bring the light to our people has died horribly, or he was exiled or something, because this is not the land of this. You know, this we are truly under white supremacy. So it's understandable. So we're going to have to keep on fighting.
And Brother Bonner, I was going to say on the note what the brother's saying, dear brother, is this. We are implementing homeschool programs, and that's wonderful. And we implemented some private schools where we have 5 or 10, and that's wonderful. But the problem is, as you just pointed out about us, guess what we failed to do? This is why we're calling this the homeschool network. The homeschool network unifies us. The homeschool network brings us together. Sister Bob's on the line. I know she's going to have something to say on that. And it unifies us. If I'm doing my thing, here we go. We have this beautiful brother, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. We have this beautiful brother, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah, he's beautiful.
We have this beautiful brother and others out here who are doing revolutionary work. We have Brother McHale here in Florida. We have our sister down in Tampa. We have Sister Nadia. We have Brother Sean. We have all these brothers and sisters. We have out in California, beautiful brothers, General Taco. We have all these brothers, Brother Michael, all these people up in, we have our sister up in Ohio and Brother Tommy, AJ, all these people in different places. But what hinders us is we have to find a way to unite. This is why the other part of taking your children to the school the first day is what? To take some other parents with you in numbers. Your strength in numbers. If you're not a professional person, maybe somebody is. We should not be intimidated if a brother's a lawyer, a doctor, an engineer. And we should not be intimidated if a brother is a drug dealer and he got children in the school. You might have to be the voice for that brother or that sister in the school. Why? Because their babies are the future, just like your babies and my babies are the future. See, we don't understand that white folks do this all the time. Their neighbors and their friends written on these cards so they can pick up my child if I'm not here. Or they can pick up my baby if I'm not here. So when you hit on that, brother, what you mentioned, it's our unity that's the number one thing that we have to overcome. Otherwise, we're going to be here. We're not going to be here. Our babies and our babies' babies, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, they will be sitting here 100 years from now, Sister Shabazz, and they can hear my father used to talk like that. My great-granddaddy used to talk like that. We're saying now like Marcus Garvey. We should not be talking about what Marcus Garvey did. We should be doing what he did. We shouldn't be talking about what Honorable Farrakhan is doing. He's here. We should be doing it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was an example for us. What holds us back is our fear. We fear that this, let me say this, we fear that this white man is not going to approve. He didn't approve of Sister Bob doing homeschooling. I know that. He don't approve of Brother James coming into the public school and
he
talking
never
about Kwanzaa, Juneteenth. But guess what? Damn it, I'm not going to stop.
That's right. He's never approved.
Why? Because these are our babies. And then we have to pull others on. So I invited some educators to the line, and I know they're sitting out there, some of them out there right now. They're not going to say anything. They don't want anybody to know they're out there. That's okay.
That's right.
Okay. Just listen. I'm talking. I'm the one that got to tomorrow. Hell, I've been going to public school 14 years. I haven't backed down yet, so I know I'm not going to back down tomorrow. Hell,
Brother James.
I mean, we have to stand up with courage and say, these are people. Anyway, Sister Shabazz is on the line, brother, and she, I know, has something. It is time we've gone over a little bit for the Homeschool Network, and we, Sister Shabazz, we just blended it all together.
Well, thank you, Mother Love. Thank you so very kindly. Peace and love to my family. I'm delighted to be online. Thank you. And please let me just say I would like to give honor and praise to our ancestors, for without them we would not be. I have enjoyed absolutely everything that I've heard. I do want to get into what I'm going to talk about. Before that, though, I do want to make just a couple of comments on some of the things that has been said. One is, yes, the crack in the dome. And what we're offering is a little bit of solution to the hell that we all live in every day. I'm going to ask anyone that wants to have some very basic steps that we can begin to take. Grab yourself some paper and pen so that you can be able to take down this information that I'm going to share with you. And also, brother, I want to say the brother, one of the things that I think that we must start to invoke is that we must move in silence. You cannot organize in the face of your enemy. You have to be like a thief in the night. So if we start to organize ourselves quietly, well, what we have to do is invoke the feminine energy in ourselves. It is a masculine energy that many of us are functioning on, which is loud and boisterous and bragging and, you know, just you're going to be all up in someone's face. That is an imbalanced energy for us to be able to build a nation. So right now we're talking about building a nation. And when you're building a nation, absolutely your enemy does not want you to build a nation. But it is incumbent on us, because of what has been given to us by our ancestors, to be able to go within right now. And when you go within, you'll be on time. You won't be too late, my dear brother, the brother who talked about what's happening in the public school. And when you go within, you will find the energy that you need to be able to love one another, to unite with one another, to be one with one another. We are one. All of the children are our children. There is no separation. All of our babies belong to us. Once we look at it, it is not my child, my baby. It's the community baby. It's the nation baby. We're international people. We're indigenous people. We came with this earth. We made this earth for ourselves. So we must begin to rethink the process of being loud and obnoxious. These were not the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. This brother built in the face of an enemy. Before they looked up, they didn't know what happened. But he built schools. He built businesses. He built banks, institutions. So just be more quiet, my brothers, as I'm seem to be the only sister speaking on the line tonight. So I want to give honor and to my sister Chuma and sister Akul, who are not on the line tonight, but I invoke the goddess power. So my brothers, with your permission, I would like to proceed. Is that okay?
That's okay.
Yes, ma'am. And sister Shabazz, they may not be on the line, but we know they're working, because they're both out there doing something revolutionary. Not that they need to have an excuse not to be here, but when they tell me what they're doing, and if you knew what they were doing right now, they're working to change the condition of our people. We can't ask for any more than that.
I say, my brother. Well, we did have a very great response to people wanting to know basically how to start a home school. And what I'm going to offer tonight are some very short solutions that you can take to just begin to the process of what it takes to get started with the homeschool. And as we continue, I will offer more steps. And tonight I'm just going to offer some steps so that you can begin to start the process of what's necessary to invoke a homeschool. So the first thing that I want to talk about is that you have to be focused. You are now becoming the facilitator, the coordinator, the leader of your child's education. This is a very, very good step, and this is a very powerful step. So it's very important that you be real clear that this is what you want to do, this is what you're going to commit to do, and that you're going to facilitate the process all the way through. The second thing is to become familiar with the laws in your city, in your state. If you could just write down this website, you can go to this website. It's www.hlikehorse.com/sam/lary/day/apple.org. Again, that is www.hslda.org. This is an advocate website for homeschooling. It will answer your questions in terms of what your laws are in your land, and also do some more due diligence. Just don't only depend on that website, but this is a good starting place. It will give you an indication of what the rules are, how lenient is your state, what states have rules such as, for example, I'm here in Dallas, Texas. There are really no rules here in terms of your child have to participate in the school system, none at all. Once you pull your child out, or even you don't even have to enroll them into school, then your child, you don't even have to have their set curriculum. Your child does not have to take any of the state tests, but that's here in Texas. Take Louisiana, for example. The children have to take the state test. They still have to have some parts of the curriculum into their schooling. If they are not going to take the test, they have to have a certified teacher to sign off that those children qualify. So it's very important that you take the steps necessary so that you can get all of your legal questions answered. It's out here. The information is out here. So please be a facilitator into your child's life. The third thing is to start to study your child or your children or the children that you're going to be teaching. You need to know how they learn. Are they good listeners? Do they learn better with hands-on? Are they interactive? Excuse me. Do they work better with other children? Do they enjoy music while they're listening or learning? Also, the fourth thing is, where are you going to homeschool? Are you going to use your kitchen? Are you going to use your garage, your bedroom? Are you going to teach outdoors? Are you going to run an everyday homeschool program that is on the move? So whatever you do is teaching. So if you go to the museum, it's a teaching day at the museum. If you're in the grocery store, it's a teaching day in the grocery store. You must know where you're going to set your homeschool up. So start to look around and make some decisions where you're going to set your homeschool up. That's going to be very important when we start looking to set up something for our children, because you want to have a stable situation with your children. Number five is, you want to know how much time are you willing to dedicate, or are you able to dedicate, meaning how many hours of the day. I say that small children only need 2 hours of schooling. Children that are over 5, 4 hours of schooling. Our children don't need to be in school all day. Get them some hobbies. That is a problem. Our children don't have hobbies. They don't know how to build things. Teach them how to build boats. We need boats. Teach them how to build airplanes. We need people who can build airplanes. Teach them how to do drywalling. We need to have contractors into our community. So give them hobbies so that they can learn and open up their minds. And also number six is the curriculum. What curriculum is it that you want to teach? You determine what is best for your child. You and your child, this is a part of getting to know your child. And also, what do they like? Because what they like is what they're going to excel in. Unlike the public school system, they teach everyone the absolute same thing, which is high-stakes testing. But if your child has a very good they have a natural ability to want to know about the stars and the moon. Then teach them about nature, teach them astronomy, and tell them where it came from, because then you will teach them about themselves. And also, this is important. This goes back to the law as well. Your curriculum may have to have something to do with the laws that are in your state. You must also look at your ability at this time, not your ability, not your future ability, because we all have the ability to continue to learn. You may have to stay up some nights, very late nights. You might have to be up 3-4 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out how to do algebra. If there's no one in your neighborhood, if you can't remember how to do algebra, then get on the internet. Go to YouTube or go to one of the high schoolers in your neighborhood. They also can teach. You might even want to hire them to come into your home school and teach your children. Not only will this help your child, but it would also help another child, because what that would do is teach them communication, teach them responsibility, teach them the art of sharing, teach them the art of being able to love by helping their community. Check into your network and also your budget. Your budget is going to have a lot to do with your curriculum. It's not necessary for you to think about books right away. And the reason that I'm saying that it's not necessary for you to think about books right away, because if our children are coming from the public school system, their self-esteem has been shot. So we need to put more emphasis on building the self-esteem of our children. We need to give them self-confidence, self-awareness, self-dignity, self-love. We need to teach them about manners. We need to no longer continue to use baby language. Power of words. If you're using the word, I want you all to think about something. The word motherfucker is a very, very bad word. No, think about, do you want yourself to be fucking your mother? If you haven't thought about that, then think about it. Everything that you say, it comes back to your own energy. So if you're using those words, you may use them to communicate with someone else. But when you communicate, it also is vibratory. It bounces back to you. So we must begin to invoke much more civilization in ourselves and in our children. So let's clean up the baby language. We're no longer babies. We're adults. We want to teach our children to be adults, to be responsible, to be able to communicate with people from all walks of life. And you cannot do that if every 4 or 5 words that you speak are poor baby language words. So we must up the ante now. If we want to have liberators and civilized people in our nation, then we must up the ante. That's the challenge that I have for my brothers and sisters, is let's speak better. But the best way to begin to teach our children, even if you have no budget, is to step outside of your door and start teaching nature. You can study the ants. You can start seeing how the ants are busy day and night, summer and winter. They never are not busy. They're always busy. They're always preparing, because they know that summer is right around the corner. They know that winter is right around the corner. So we must also begin to study nature, study the birds. The birds will give you lessons. They always take care of their children. The birds prepare their nests. What do they? They know how to gather their nests. So nature will be a wonderful way to start to teach your children, so that you don't have to only depend on books. And show your children the origin of themselves, who they are, where they come from. And you can do this without even just going to some of the books. You can show them just by the fiber of their hair, how powerful is the ether in their hair, how the swirl of the curl in their hair that swirls around and makes can make a perfect circle, 360 degrees. We some powerful people, my brothers and sisters. And also, in this teaching process, teach your children culture. Visit the museum. This is a part of the teaching process in the home schools as well. Because in the museum, there are a lot of things that can give us proof as to who we are. It's a part of the culture. And then there's the things that you want to teach them in the museum that are contradictions to who we are. Teach them the truth. Teach them the symbols and the signs. Pull out your money, your tender notes. That's the Federal Reserve notes. Show them our symbols on those notes. Show them the signs that have been stolen from us. Brother James, you all talked about that last night. We must start to teach our children some of the things that was left to us. Teach them the colors, the power of colors. Teach them the science of breath. Most people, the average person, can only hold their breath for 3 minutes. So breath is so majorly important to our bodies. But yet we have no respect for breath. We don't know the proper technique for breathing. So it's very important that you start. Some of you probably saying, well, what does it have to do with homeschool? Have something to do with everything. Because the homeschool is within. So we must start to teach our children about the magic of who we are. So we don't have to be so quick to just lift up books, because our children have been booked to death by a lot of books that are not like them. So it's going to take a lot to get them to start to have love for books. But if you teach them about where books come from without teaching them the books, and then you can go back and say, you know where I found this out? It was in this book. Now you use a different approach toward getting them to learn to love to read. And also the other thing is if you cannot teach your children homeschool every day, then invoke a Saturday school in your house. Have a Saturday school that is going to be starting with me on the 20th. Is it the 25th? I don't have my calendar, but I believe it's the 25th, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. And I'm going to have 5 children, 3 to 5, and I'm teaching them just the basics. Every month, have a Saturday school or a Sunday school. It doesn't have to have anything to do with religion. But if you have time on those days, take 2 hours out and start teaching. Teaching them some of the things that they need to learn of themselves. And finally, I want to open up for questions. But before I do, I want to say one of the actions that I would like to lead to all of us is to start to speak love to ourselves and one to one another, because we cannot expect anyone to have respect for us if we don't have respect for one another. And the action that you can take is to speak to your brother or your sister wherever you see them. Don't let a brother or sister cross your path without speaking to them. That will show that you care. That will show that you have love in your heart for them. Speak love, and we will all begin to be in the process of loving one another. So, Brother James, Brother Vernon, if you all have something that you would like to add to what I said, or if you have some questions, I can take whatever your questions may be right now, or otherwise, if there are some brothers and sisters that are online, then please open up the call line, and we'll take questions.
Sister Shabon,
yeah,
I just want to say beautiful, excellent job. As always, beautiful, excellent job. And I'm glad brother's back on the line, because he's going to add the other piece of music. Beautiful. I also want to say what you're talking about can be used also with parents collaborating. As we talk about coalition of public schools, Sister Shabon, because everything you're talking about, that's where the parents and the public schools will tie into the Saturday school of the Pan-African University. By networking and communicating. So everything that you're talking about and what we discussed is right on time. And I thank you, Disha, as always.
You're very welcome, brother. That was someone who was chiming in. Who was that?
Brother Vernon.
Brother Vernon. Peace and love, brother.
Peace and love, dear sister. You know, dear sister, I love you, and I just, when you have such a calming
calming voice, and it just calms my spirit when you speak. You know, I can hear the wisdom in your voice, the wisdom just in your spirit. And but you sound like, the way you speak, it like you've had vocal training. Have you?
No, sir, brother, I have not.
You haven't? Okay, because I noticed you breathe before you speak, and that saves your voice. But no, but you were I wanted you to elaborate on, you were speaking concerning our children have been booked to death. Can you repeat that? I missed it.
Yes, they have been. Most, and Brother James talked about this earlier, is that the books that they have been learning from are books that have not invoked good spirits in them. And so because of that, and this is, of course, as you all know, this was done on purpose. So because that spirit has been left with them a bad taste, so to speak, in their mouth, they don't want to look at another book right now. So it's incumbent upon us to use a softer approach to introduce books to our children as opposed to trying to force books into their lives right now. Let's teach them about nature. Let's take them and show them how the book can benefit them. We would do it so that you, for example, like I was talking about ants, you can talk to them about the ants. You can teach them about the ants. And then now you can go get a book and tell them, well, this is where we can even learn much more detailed information about the ants. But don't just throw the ant book at them. Let them go view the ants. Let them see the ants. You might even buy an ant colony and put it in your home and allow them to see how ants colonate together, how they cooperate together, how they see themselves in unity, how one helps the other, how they go and get their food, how they're in alignment. They are almost like the FOI drilling. One goes, the other one comes back. You know, they get to see all of that. And so if we just take, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't read. I'm saying that we shouldn't force books on them if we're just pulling them out of the public school. They've been constantly, everything is high stakes. They've been used as tools in the public schools. So we have to nurture them all over again, or even nurture them because many of them have never been nurtured. So in the process of nurturing, you know, I'm speaking from a mother's standpoint right now. This is one of those feminine energies. Like sometimes when I see brothers teaching, they force themselves on children. And when you force yourself, then most people shut down. And we do that too. I find that when someone talks loud and obnoxious to me, and I'll just go quiet and won't say anything. And so children do the same thing. So if we can just take a much more softer approach towards them, I hope I answered your question properly, brother.
Oh, yes, ma'am. You always do. One thing I can say about you, and I think Brother James agrees, you're very clear. I'm going to say it like that. You're very clear, okay? But thank you so much, and love you, dear sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, my brother. Wa alaikum salam. And Brother James, so since we're continuing to communicate, this Saturday school, this is very, very important. It doesn't take much for us to start to do a Saturday school. Actually, I challenge everyone. And the reason I'm saying do it once a month, because it doesn't take much to do. You can just gather up just the children in your community or the community people that you talk to. I really believe that one adult to three children is enough, because our children need to become masters right now. So if we can keep our circles small, then that would be better. So if it takes the brother who was Arizona? Three children. So if he has his two sons, pick up another son and teach all of those Amun Ra's, you know, and start teaching them, take them outside. Y'all do some sun meditation together. Allow them to learn the power of the sun, something like that. You know, go look for stones and go look for for crystals and teach them the power of crystals and stones and the difference between red dirt and black dirt, and just teach them about the earth so that they'll know the foundation of what we're standing on.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Shabazz.
Yes, sir.
You hit a very good point. And it's the same point that I would make with the public education or private. You have to really love your children to want to do this. Your children's education has to be the number one priority, as we mentioned earlier when we first came on. That has to be number one. And understand that if you're not qualified to do something, if I'm not qualified in the classroom with what I'm doing, I'm going to get someone else. Just like August 17th is coming up. Many of us don't even know what August 17th is. August 17th is Marcus Garvey Day. And many of us are not even prepared ourselves for it. And this is where we have to come out. That's that crack in the dome that I keep talking about. But we're going to seal it up. We're going to patch it up. We're going to make it stronger than it was before. We're going to close that crack in that dome up. And it becomes solid.
Brother Shabazz
is talking about. Sister Shabazz, you're talking about us definitely having to be qualified. Nothing makes us more qualified than we're an example by reading and researching and doing it with our children. That's the best way.
Yes. Becoming a facilitator into our child's life is going to be paramount. We should be doing this anyway. Unfortunately, this is what we're talking about right now is a direct reflection of the conditions of the black woman. Because it's the black woman's responsibility to be the educators of our children. And because the black woman has been taken off of the square of who she is and what her actual natural duties are, not the duties of what some religion or what some brother has said, but just her natural duties. We would have a better civilization. But because the black woman is not in alignment with who she really is and what was her purpose for being here on this planet and why she was made in the first place, or I should say created, then this is a direct reflect of what the conditions is. The conditions that we are in has to come back to the mother of civilization. And unfortunately, many of our sisters don't want to hear this kind of speaking or communication about who we are. But it is our responsibility to start to come home, teach our children. And if we are going to work, it's still our responsibility. Just because we're working does not mean that responsibility is removed. It's still there. And we're working and we're not paying attention to what's happening to our nation, because the men are a reflection of what the women have been teaching. I challenge my sisters that if you want a better man, then you teach a better man. You teach them while they're young. And if you want to have a more successful nation, then you teach civilization when your child is a baby. That's where it began.
Absolutely beautiful. Do you have any calls, Brother Sean, and questions and comments?
Well, brother, if not, then, Brother Vernon has a piece that he's going to share with us tonight, and I think it's actually a wonderful segue to where we need to go right now. And I know that one of the things that we all have been talking about is since this is a radio educational program, it's incumbent on all of us to become better listeners. And the way that I like to explain listening is that you list, L-I-S-T, what the person is saying to you, and then you opt yourself in so that you can have an understanding of what has been said to you. And in our listening, we have been taught not to listen very well, but what we are operating on is a very vibratory, a very serious frequency that has been put into us. And our brother is going to bring us some wonderful, wonderful information about the power of frequencies, and we can analyze as a group some of the lyrics, as I talked about the power of the words. And you know what? As I talk about that, let me just say this for one moment. I'm finding it to be a great contradiction for a sister or a brother to be a revolutionary brother or sister. They're listening to Rick Ross and they're listening to Lil Wayne, and you're listening to rap music that is destructive. And the reason that I'm finding it a great contradiction is that you don't get around what words will do to you, no matter how intelligent we are. You don't get around the vibration and the frequencies because we're vibratory people. So you don't escape that. So if you want to keep your mind on revolution and liberation and nation building, then music that is destructive toward us is a complete contradiction to that. And with that in mind, Brother Vernon, you want to step in, my beloved brother.
Brother Vernon, you there, sir?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I'm right here. I'm still on the job, brother. That's why I was bouncing around. I'm sorry. Dear sister, I'm not quite prepared to say what I want to say. Can you give me some more time?
Yes, of course, brother.
I'm going to lay it on you, because I'm going to lay it on you good when I put it all, put my little package together concerning the frequency and concerning the negative attitude, concerning all this what's going on today, the programming of the mind of our children. So if you could give me a little time, dear queen, I appreciate it.
Yes, my beloved brother, time is actually always available. It doesn't seem to go anywhere. It just continues to tick.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You so much.
Brother Vernon. Brother Vernon, as always, we appreciate it. We're coming down to that hour. We're now at that time where there should be the question and answers for anything that anybody has out there. In addition to, in about the next 3 or 4 minutes, we're going to start to move forward. And as always, we don't want to forget our brother who's controlling, Brother Sean Kwali, who
brother
is...
Sean.
Hi, Brother Sean Kwali. Black Power, brother Sean,
who's back there behind the scenes, but really in the front, controlling all that's happening. Thank you,
that's
sir.
Right.
We appreciate it.
Thank you so
and
much.
Sean, I know you probably have millions of questions and answers, and I was going to say to my brother, please feel free to jump right in.
Oh, no, brother. I'm heard all the time. I'm enjoying the break. Give your brother a break. A side of tomatoes to go.
So we're going to throw with that, brothers and sisters. Does anyone have any questions, any comments as we move forward? But we're going to lay out as we prepare to it. It's not shut down. It's actually just moving on, because we'll be moving on into next week. Any questions or comments? Brother Marvin, I know you're still out there, and we have Brother Malik and some others, and some of those educators who are quiet. If you don't wish to speak, I understand.
We want to take a call. I want to take a call from area code 260-409. You're on the air with Black Power Radio and the National Ministry of Education. Black Power, your question or comment.
Black Power.
Black Power,
yes, sir.
All right. I've been listening to the show, a couple weeks. 22, calling from Indiana. And, man, I see a whole lot of stuff up here, man. I never knew, man. If I would have knew, I would have been tuned in. You know how these white people act, They look like they smell some shit when they look at you. But I'm going to comment on the music
part. Can I ask you something? Let me ask you this. Are you a product of public schools?
I'm in college, yes, sir.
So you're a product, you're in college. Can I ask you
college
what are you
student.
Studying?
I'm studying for business.
You're the right one I want to talk to. Can I ask you, you're what, a junior, senior?
I'm a junior.
Yes, sir. So let me ask you this. When you graduate, what's your next step?
my next step is to help my family, and we gonna come up and we gonna help other families.
Yes, sir. So
Black
can I ask
power.
You how you gonna
Black power.
How you gonna? Yes, sir. Black power. Can I ask you how you gonna do that?
Oh, we gonna make the right moves. We gonna make the right moves. We gonna do it all legit. You know, we start our own little business. You know, I ain't really thought about what it's gonna be yet. You know, but it's in the making. It's in the making. About another year, I'll be out. You know, and we gonna take some steps toward motivating our family, so we ain't gotta get out here and work for the white man. We gonna work for ourselves.
Can I ask you another question? I love your answer.
Yes, sir.
I love your answer, guy. Let me ask you this. Were you prepared to enter college for the type of education that you're taking, which is self-motivation, when you left the public schools? Or were you prepared for some other type of education? Or did you have a pretty good idea what college life was going to be like?
After high school, man, all my friends got locked up, had warrants. Getting out here, you know, like the young lady said, listen to their rap music. They're going to get you killed. A lot of my friends died, you know. I just pushed on. It's me. I'm solo now. We looking out for the family.
Yes, sir. So you're going to make some new friends. My question is, though, when you left high school, did they prepare you for self-motivation where nobody was going to say, listen, sit down and read, sit down and do your math, open up your book and study? Did they prepare you for that? Are you prepared to leave high school?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I took all kinds of summer classes during the summer. You know, we got in there. We in there.
Well, the reason I'm asking that is this. One of the things that I know with this online program is that I'm asking those questions because I think what you have to offer of what many of our people are not exposed to. Even as educators,
right.
I feel many of them don't have exposure to what college life is like. And
right.
We tell them all the time, nobody's going to wake you up. Nobody's going to make you do your homework. Nobody's going to make you study. It has to be self-motivated, but at the same time, you have to build a network of people around you who are successful, and you'd be successful because they're successful. But
right.
At some point, dear brother, if you will call us at 904-613-0729, the number is also posted on the website. But
okay.
If you do that, we would love to have you speak with our young people, because I believe young people should speak to young people.
Right.
Especially
well, see, the thing about it is, you know, they don't want to listen, man. Everybody want to do their own thing. Everybody got secrets behind them, you know, all kind of stuff. Man, this stuff is crazy.
Yes, sir.
You don't know who to trust, bro.
But let me ask you this. I know this, just like for myself. Somebody talked to me, which kept me in school, just like some people are talking to you, was keeping you in school. And
right.
just offering an opportunity for you, brother. If it's there and you would like to do it, please make sure you stay in touch with us. Yes,
okay,
sir.
I will. So I listen to the show every week.
Yes, brother. What I would like to say is, brother, thank you so much for calling. It actually just shows your courage and where you're going right now. We appreciate a young brother like you who is opening up his mind and your ideas to listening to a program like this. What I would challenge you to take a look at, because if you are a junior right now, it's imperative that you begin to start the process of your own business. So
right.
What is it? Ask yourself, what type of things is it that you're already good at? What type of things that you like to do? And look at the needs of your community. You may be a bread baker. We do not have international bread that somebody can bake and sell our own bread across America and across the world. So if you're
right.
a bread baker, that's a legitimate business. If you may even learn to make colorful shoestrings. What I'm saying is that it does not matter what product you decide to go with, because whatever product it is or service, most likely black people do not have it. We don't own it. We don't own anything. We don't manufacture anything. So now, if in your business process, think about manufacturing something that will help the needs of your nation. Because if you be independent, your independence will be incumbent upon you to solve a problem in our community. Give us a solution with whatever you put out. So I want to just say once again, thank you, brother. Keep up the good work. Be encouraged. And don't allow what the others are doing to some kind of way, if you can go back and look at where was your start. Where your start is where another brother's start is. And you might have to just start right there with some brothers. Don't think about where you are. Think about where you began, when your channel started to open, when you start to change your thoughts. You might have to go back there so that you can teach another brother. But always think about teaching another brother.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Dear brother, I know we're at that hour, and we really appreciate it.
Yes.
We appreciate all that you're saying, and we hope you come back. Sister Shabazz, Professor Shabazz, we thank you for those beautiful, 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 kind words. As Brother Vernon said, we're at that hour. It is now 9:56, brothers and sisters, as we prepare to wind down. I'm going to make this quick and fast. I don't have a choice. Only got a couple of minutes. First of all, our goal is September 8th. On September 8th, make sure you go to the New Black Panther website and look for a website for the Pan-African University, which will be opening as day and grand opening is September 8th.
Yeah.
September 8th at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's what's happening on the Pan-African University for Black Excellence. Again, next Wednesday, many of our young people will be back in public schools, they'll be back in home school, they'll be back in private school, they'll be back in school, whatever they're in, we got something for them right here on this Black Power radio station. So one of our greatest goals, brothers and sisters, we must recognize, and sister hit on it, we have to recognize all roads lead to God or whatever we believe. And the spiritual foundation cannot be exclusive of this educational process. And this is why I started out saying Ashe, Hotep, Peace, Abarajani. Whatever it is, Assalamu Alaikum. Whatever it is, Amen. Whatever it is that we do that gives us peace and a spiritual connection is necessary for our babies. Again, I'd like to thank Sister Boz. I don't know if you got it. I got to give you 30 seconds and give Brother Vernon 30 seconds so we can wrap it up.
Well, thank you, brother. I certainly appreciate that. Much love and honor to all of the brothers and sisters who have tuned in this evening. Continue to tune in with us as you watch and we grow together. We are one. Think of us as one. Think of our growth together, and we will flourish as one. And much love and honor to everyone.
Thank you, Sister Shabazz. Brother Vernon, any class closing
words,
your brother?
Yes, sir. Brother James, love you, brother. Sister Shabazz, love you. And all the listeners, thank you for having me on tonight. Brother, I'd like to say, as a quote the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, our unity is stronger than an atomic bomb. Let's unify and let's lift our people. Let's lift our babies. And brother, just thank you once again for having me on the show tonight.
Yes, sir, brother. And always, as always, we got to thank the chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
Yes, sir,
brother. Revolutionary idea to put together this Pan-African University, which is a success.
Black Power.
Our brother Sean. Again, Sister Kuma, Sister Chuma, and Brother Diallo is absent, but we know they're here in spirit, brothers and sisters. Always, remember we said, a people who will not treat you right will not teach you right. You're responsible for your own destiny. Each one teach one. Thank you, Brother Sean. I know you got Malcolm in the wait. Well, that's that hour. What do we have? We still got about 2 minutes. Brother Sean? And thank our Brother Sean Kwali. Brother Sean, are you there? Well, Brother Sean usually closes us down with a small piece of Malcolm. And
yes.
My brother.
I'm here, brother.
That's the way we end, brothers and sisters. We thank you. And may Allah, may God, the Creator continue to bless you. Black Power.
Black Power.
Maybe my brother's back here.
And when we say this, the press calls us racists in reverse. Don't struggle only within the ground rules that the people you're struggling against has laid down. Why, this is insane. But it shows you how they can do. They make the, with skillful manipulating of the press, they're able to make the victim look like the criminal and the criminal look like the victim. Right now, when in New York, we had a couple cases where police grabbed the brother and beat him unmercifully. But when it comes time for you and me to protect ourselves against lynchers, they tell us to be nonviolent.
Once you change your philosophy, you change your thought pattern. Once you change your thought pattern, you change your attitude. Once you change your attitude, it changes your behavior pattern. And then you go on into some action. As long as you got a sit-down philosophy, you'll have a sit-down thought pattern. And as long as you think that old sit-down thought, you'll be in some kind of sit-down action. They'll have you sitting in everywhere. It's not so good to refer to what you're going to do as a sit-in. That right there castrates you. Right there it brings you down. What goes with it? What, think of the image of someone sitting. An old woman can sit. An old man can sit. A chump can sit. A coward can sit. Anything can sit. Well, you and I have been sitting long enough, and it's time today for us to start doing some standing and some fighting to back that up. When we look at other parts of this earth upon which we live, we find that black, brown, red, and yellow people in Africa and Asia are getting their independence. They're not getting it by singing, "We Shall Overcome." No, they're getting it through nationalism. It is nationalism that brought about the independence of the people in Asia. Every nation in Asia gained its independence through the philosophy of nationalism. Every nation on the African continent that has gotten its independence brought it about through the philosophy of nationalism. And it will take black nationalism that to bring about the freedom of 22 million Afro-Americans here in this country where we have suffered colonialism for the past 400 years. America is just as much a colonial power as England ever was.
All the facts in this world. Love my earth, but polygamy.